Welcome everybody to the second podcast here at TV Center. I'm your host, Daily, and this is Total Warcast. Now, today I have a special surprise for everyone. I have two co-hosts with me. The first one is Mithris, and the other is Stradar. Say hello, guys.
Hey, everyone. My name is Mithris. I'm from Canada. I'm part of the Total War Center Shogun 2 clan.
Hi, everyone. My name is Strader, and I'm part of the Total War Center clan, and I am a team member to Mithris, 2 versus 2, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm from United States, Florida. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Basically, today we're going to cover the same thing as last time. We have Forum Frenzy. We're going to discuss several topics there from the forum. We have Tactical Terror, which we're going to discuss some tactics. And for first time ever, we're going to have Mod Corner, basically because a new mod has been released, and I want to talk about that. So, yeah, basically, enjoy the show, and let's get it on. Yes, this is Forum Frenzy, basically where we discuss a lot of the topics on the forums which interest us. So today we have found two topics which is really interesting. We're going to talk about like rating Shogun 2 from 1 to 10. And the second topic is Shogun 2 is a one-run game. So we're going to discuss those two. So basically, yeah, guys, what do you think of Shogun 2? Like basically, let's do the rating. Firstly, what is your rating? 1 to 10, Mithrids.
I gave it an 8. The reasons being, from what I've seen, the campaign AIs really need a little bit of work in the very hard setting. They leave their armies out of their capital cities, and they basically don't protect their main territories. And also, Realm Divide has been poorly demonstrated in the game. And also, the lack of anti-aliasing and DirectX 11, which they promised to put out. Also, there was various co-op bugs and multiplayer bugs that also set me off.
Okay, yeah. What about you, Stradar?
Well, actually, I gave it a 10, but I changed my mind about that. Actually, I'm more of thinking towards 9, because the main reason was multiplayer just was not represented the ways they were talking about. It's just, release day. It was horrid. I mean, you couldn't do anything, and it's still that way, and I'm just waiting on it to be fixed. And that's the only reason why I gave it one point less. And that ruined the game for me right there as multiplayer-wise. Co-op still has a little issues, but I'm still having fun with co-op. I like it.
Yeah, basically, for me, I gave first 10, but the problem for me, the dilemma for me is that I'm a single play guy. So basically what it ended up with was that I removed the point because of the bugs in multiplayer and of course, the things. Well, for me, the finished game is really great and I would give it a 10, but because of the bugs, this really minor bugs in a single player and like larger ones in multiplayer, I have to give it a 9. But overall, it's a really close 10. Perfect game for me.
Well, there's also some battlefield bugs, too, like in sieges, where if you send a unit of cavalry out, all their spearmen are just going to chase you and run around, and you'll have... It's basically a little bit easier.
Well, we still have suicidal generals.
Yeah, and I think they still just need a little bit more work. Everything else, though, seems to be really...
Well, they did that on sieges. If you send your... like the whole army, even though it's there on the other side of the castle, they will go for the horse unit.
Yep. Yes, they will all go for the horse unit.
Well, I haven't experienced that, and I have had a lot of those where I moved my cavalry out. And only example I can think of is one time, but then that was just a cavalry charging. So I haven't experienced that bug, but of course that sucks if that happens, because then you can just like position your matchlock units or bow units and then just chase the horses around and just let their army wither down to nothing.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess it's an exploit, not really a bug, but...
Yeah, actually one bug that I discovered the other day was a reinforcement bug from the when you're playing against AI and two armies. It's two different clan armies which are allies against you. and the other army stops in its tracks. It doesn't want to attack, so you're stuck, basically.
So that's, oh, so you have to attack them instead of...
Yeah, and you have to trigger them. Luckily, I had game time, like, checked. So I just pushed on triple speed and went out of the game, watched moves and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically that saved me then. But of course now, usually I play with that off. But since I discovered that bug, I'm not going to do that until I'm certain that it's fixed, because... What you gonna do then? Then I have to concede defeat. Your whole army will die, even though you had a big chance of winning. And that sucks, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed triple speed has a bug itself. It just like sticks. The screen just freezes, and then all of a sudden your army's dead. Yeah.
Yes, we've had that happen in multiplayer, I believe, or co-op. Yes, I had to. It took a while for the enemy army to approach my army, so I just pressed 3x speed, and my whole screen basically was blank, and then all of a sudden I heard your general's in grave danger, and then your army is running away.
then
I could press play, and then I saw my whole army just fleeing.
Yeah, it was over in like less than 2 minutes.
Lol. Yeah, like we're really being negative at the moment because it's so many great aspects of the game, but I think it's like many of great games get this, like, I don't know, one trail when you only think about the negative things, because it's so many good and you're trying to find like negative things. So for example, I love the new I love the new graphics for basically. I love the new way they decided to like make scale down the whole like 18th century.
Yeah, it's just one country instead of a whole continent. They really zoomed in, and you have to basically just look at Japanese culture instead of, you know, British culture, all the others like Russia, Egypt. Like,
yeah, but the problem with the other games is that you didn't get a really good cultural example.
Exactly. Right.
Not at all. It was really basically like you have here your structures, really alike, here you have your units. Mm-hmm. Different was only the different was the colors and of course the region you were placed in. And of course the background things you knew about that place or that, that faction. And I think that's really great how they really brought forward that good cultural, which is Japanese feudal history. And of course, like downgrading the gunpowder era. That was really cool.
I like to add that, wonderful thing about Shogun Total War 2 is the campaign map, actually. They really delve into the way it looks, and it's beautiful, actually. And you can really get into it, immersed into the game. It's just not like you're worried about, you know, 20 other countries or anything like that. You're worried about this one country right here, and that's it. And it's wonderful. It really gets me delved into it. I mean, I've never really been able to really be immersed into a game like I have with Shogun 2.
Oh, yeah. All the places are historically accurate. Like, everything is very well done. There's just nothing I would really change about the campaign map. It's perfect as it is.
Yeah. Actually, this is really great for, a upstart introduction to our second, what we're going to discuss next. So, good. For me, basically, Total War the series changing game, basically, because they went a little bit back. It's more about the melee units now. It's more about like good old hacking and slashing. But of course, they introduced some of the gunpowder units, and I think that is really essential, because now instead of it being a dominant role, it's just like a bonus or a nuisance. If you're, if you use them wrong, or they get used against you.
Well, I will say that ever since playing Empire and Napoleon Total War, I'm a bit rusty with the melee, actually. It took me a while to get used to it again, you know? It's like, oh man, this is something new.
Well, to me, basically, I was really glad they did that, because I was so freaking tired of Napoleon Empire. I didn't play that much, actually. I haven't clocked in so many hours on that because I didn't like it. So I've been playing like Medieval 2 and Rome.
Yeah.
Still. And those games are still like excellent.
Yeah, I was stuck playing Medieval 2. Well, just because my computer couldn't handle the other ones, I've since bought a new computer. But yeah, I didn't really like Napoleon's time period. Wasn't really interested. And I did buy Empire for the sole reason, well, they were gloating about how big it was and, you know, everything was going to be so great, the naval battles. I really enjoyed that, but I still like the older medieval kind of period.
Yeah, yeah, I think I should actually stick with that, basically. Actually, I think the Total War series is the basic, just stay in an era where it's melee. Do not go higher up where the technology just changes the gameplay. It's really, it's just groundbreaking. I hope they will revisit. Next game is either going to be Rome 2 or, Rome 2 or Medieval, like 3 with, like, this graphic. I think that's going to be amazing. Basically.
Well, I want to say one thing. Actually, I think they shouldn't just stay in melee warfare. I think they can go back to gunpowder and do it right this time, because Empire and Napoleon, I think they just didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go from there, and I just think they weren't ready for it. And I think they can go back and get it right this time.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. But it's like a huge game. For example, Empire. I think that I honestly think they should wait until the whole world can be unlocked.
Yes, I also believe that.
Because I felt that it was really, really limited when they first introduced so much. And then I felt it wasn't enough because I felt it was cut off, unrealistic. It would be like your superpower couldn't colonize, for example, Africa. And that was in the right era. And historically, great. But guys, we've been using way too much time on this topic. We have to move on. If not, we're going to be sitting here all night or evening for you guys. Yes, next topic is where a user named Bella is talking about Shogun 2 is a one-run game. Now, basically, what he means that you just run through the campaign once and after that, because it's the units are all the same, the clans are so situated together, and it's such a small piece of land. Japan is really small, basically. He feels that Total War is a one-run game. You can just complete the campaign once, and then you're going to be done with it. So we're going to discuss that. So, firstly, what do you think, guys? Like in really small parts. Do you think that it's a one-run game, or do you feel that it has some replay value?
I want to say one thing is that there's so many different ways you can tackle the campaign. You know, you can either go musket, you can go Christian, you can do naval invasions. Plus, you got a lot more clans you can play with, and you know, different ways of doing it. I think it has a lot of replay value, and I just think that people are just being one-sided on this. And there's a lot of different ways you can play this.
For me, I think that if you play a different clan, like say you're starting a Shimazu clan in the far, far east, and then you switch to the Oda clan, there's a huge difference in playing those two clans, even though they do have the same units. And each clan has their own bonuses, right? The Shimazu clan, obviously, the Katana Samurai, and the Oda clan being Ashigaru units. But when I was playing the Oda clan, you have to rush. You really have to fight off all the enemies and kind of ally with a whole bunch of different clans just to check all your flanks, because you're in dead center. You're at war with two clans. And also, you get the benefit of having the cheapest units in the entire game. For the Shimazu clan, it's kind of slower paced. You can pick at the Ito clan or the Sagara clan at the top, and you can really... It's a huge difference in gameplay, in my opinion.
Yeah, so basically both of you feel that it's because you have so many different ways of going, you can even start, like every other Total War game. Because you have different factions, you have different units, you have different ways of playing, the replay value is pretty huge. Either you can start really like all the way to the north east, or you're gonna go all the way down to the west. So Yeah, I agree totally with you. Because many, for example, with the Mori clan, which I, my favorite clan of all times. Yes, Mori, all the way, master of the waves. Yeah, basically, for me, it was a really game difference between other clans. Much because they are, I concentrated really much on the sea and trade. And I feel that you have very different ways of playing. You can either just go crazy with Ashigaru units, but what I did was that I started, at one point in the game, I just said no, no more wars. So after I defeated my last clan, I decided no more expansion. I'm gonna sit here and camp and build up, which I did, and I grew. And because of my slowly building up, I created such a huge income that I could just, yeah, like this is something I have never done in a Total War game, and that was just sit down, research, create armies, and then attack. And that was right before Realm Divide. I think it was 2-3 provinces away before I got the Realm Divide. It was really smart of me. If I hadn't done that, I would have totally lost. So yeah, to me, I think it's a really large replay value. But of course, the problem is that from other Total War games is that modding is pretty limited because of the, what can I say? It's really complicated, the game, now, than from, for example, Rome. So I think it's really hard to actually add a lot of replay value. For example, with Third Age, the Medieval 2 mod, or what is it called? Europa Barbarium from Rome, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are great. I play them. Unfortunately, Romus Erectum, Rome mod. Makes it different because if you played, for example, 200 hours of Total War game, you have played pretty much almost it all. So modding is really important to add replay value. But I hope that, for example, we're going to talk about this a little later in the mod corner, so we're just going to leave that. But yeah, this, I'm going to cut the Forum Frenzy short now because we've been using a lot of time. And next segment is Tactical Terror, so we'll see you then. Yes, now we're on to the second segment, which is Tactical Terror. Today we're going to talk about two things, which is Realm Divide and money. And this is going to be a single-player Tactical Terror, basically because MP has been really bugged, and we didn't find it adequate to have a Tactical Terror on MP yet. So maybe next time. Anyhow, guys, Realm Divide, what do you think about it?
I think you need to be really prepared for it when it comes, because it will really beat you down, unless you have allies. Allies are really helpful, so make sure you have allies before you hit Realm Divide, and make sure they're really friendly. I believe it's very friendly with you, because after about 20 or more turns after, they'll start attacking you as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you have a large enough army too to be able to handle it, because you'd be in trouble if you don't.
Captain Obvious, walking around. Yeah. But like you guys expressed, like when we talked earlier, you guys expressed a little bit of, you didn't like it too much. You thought it was too overpowered. By the way,
I think it was historically inaccurate and overpowered. I didn't think the Shogun had the enough power to actually declare, like, have all the other clans declare war on you. I think with allies, they should actually be allies with you to the end. Just like, well, Tokugawa Ieyasu, he actually probably went through this with Oda Nobunaga and stuff. But after his allies helped him defeat all the other clans, he basically just said, okay, you're given this fief and you're given this fief. I think that's how it should work. Like, your allies should be with you to the end. They shouldn't have to backstab you or anything like that. And I think there's also mods being put into that to fix it. So I guess I don't have to worry too much about it anymore.
No, it doesn't. We're just going to discuss it, but nonetheless, because they added it to the game, and it's a it's a part of the game that we have to complete.
But well, basically, the problem is...
No, it's not. No, actually, no, I'm going to come with mine because we're talking about historical accuracy, and I think that that's, like, wrong to use here, basically because you are... If it was historically accurate, you wouldn't be playing as a clan. Then it would be playing as a clan which did take the Shogunate. And... But basically, what I feel is that Realm Divide is actually a little bit historically accurate. Just look at this. Basically, imagine that you're a daimyo over a little clan. And on the other side of Japan, another clan has been taken over. And they almost has half of Japan at the moment. They have a really strong army. Then you start to wonder, he has taken half of Japan. Maybe he will actually go through Kyoto and try to capture the rest, and then the other minor clans and even the shogun starts to worry, and then shogun actually declares war and he asks for help. Hey, do you want to let us stop this menace before he takes all us all over? And same with the allies. He can see that you are growing too powerful. You can crush us. We have to join forces. If not, this evil will take over us. So. That's my take on it, basically. And I feel it's... you can call it cheap trick to, like, make the game harder, but I think it's a realistic take on when suddenly they are cornered and they see that this great power is going to come and take them.
I can agree with that, definitely.
But I still think it's a little bit overpowering because Realms Divide does not affect the AI at all. I've seen games where... For example, the Takeda clan has beaten the Hojo clan and the Date clan, and they own all the Northwest. And nothing's stopping them. They're at war with, like, two clans or something like that. I think that Realm Divide should affect everyone, not just you as a player, even though we have the intelligence, you know, to overcome the actual Realm Divide.
To me, that's I can understand that it's like unrealistic that Takeda clan they got just as like almost the same promises as me, but the shogun doesn't do anything about them. Well, I feel that of course they should, but what happens then is that basically what happens then is that Takeda clan gets exiled. They got everyone. The shogun wants to ally with you, and then. Yeah, what you're going to do, you're going to go up there and capture everything, and then suddenly you're sitting there when you're done and the Takeda clan is destroyed by all these attacks, and you maybe captured 2-3 provinces of them, and then you just go on your merry way and just slaughter everything, because then you basically has divided the whole nation and actually one of the biggest powers who can actually stop you. But yeah, that's just my take on it. But
What really bothered me was that alliances do deteriorate during Realms Divide, even though they've been allies with you since the beginning or something like that.
Yeah,
that kind of bothers me.
Yeah. I agree. That's actually quite bullshit because that happened to me as well, and I expressed my frustrations in the Steam chat and crying very bad words, foul words, which I should not recite here, and said, what the hell, I've been allied with you for, since the beginning, I gave you, two wives or something, why did you leave me now, you traitor, but I think, for me, I found an explanation in that he got really weak. He had what happened was that it was the Shoshokabe and I was the Mori. And his territories in his home island got taken over, except one. He had just one. So I just sent my units over and took his provinces. I took his provinces away from his enemy and then I kept them for myself. So he got really weak and I got just super powerful. And then I got the Realm Divide, basically, on that point.
Well, even when Realm Divide hit us in our co-op campaign, his vassals started to turn against him too, another thing that was irritating.
Yeah, but vassals, basically, I feel that vassal is a really dishonorable thing to be. And I think that many vassals in that time period, if they got the choice, do you want to break free from this, your protectorate, or do you want to fight for him? and we are going to attack everyone. So I think
these were vassals that I had made after conquering the land. So I basically gave them their provinces back to them after being conquered.
Yeah, but how many years are we talking now? Because
actually, it was only about 2 years I had Oda as a vassal.
Yeah, but of course, and then the hate is still like in the populace. I think if we're going to talk about realism, I think that hate for you guys who conquered them is still there. I think so. I think they should have actually a bar in every clan, which like every territory has. So, are you the conqueror? Are you the liberator? Or are you something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that affects. And the more like the more you have the territories, the more better things you do. You like build out infrastructure, etc., etc. The more you get like the people. The more attached the region gets to you and your clan, mm-hmm. so that it's harder for everyone to take it. I always miss that in many of the other Total War games, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I also think CA kind of dropped the ball when they stopped us from really gifting provinces or using provinces in diplomacy. I think they still should have kept that.
I don't know. I think that's a debatable thing, but we're not going to talk about that here. we talked about Realm Divide, and we're going to talk about money. Now, money, guys. What do you think about money? Some of you, remember one who of you who said that you didn't like that you had, it was a harder economy to master, or what's that?
Well, basically, I could say I love money, you know. So.
Yeah, we all do. Who doesn't love money?
But no, I think that, well, I guess it's because I play on very hard, and it could be that. But I noticed that managing your economy in Shogun 2 is it's really hard, and I think it needs to be balanced a lot more, in my opinion. Because at one moment, I might be making 2,000 per year or per turn. And next thing I know, I'm only making like 200 per turn or something like that. And it's for some reason, it's not sufficient enough or something. I think since they took out the population system, I think that's really kind of messed it up.
Yeah, to be honest, I do not think that's because I have never had a problem with the economy. Sorry, because for me, it's really about, yeah, I want to build an economy before I do anything else. So basically when I've reached a point of conquering, I stop and build up, which I did with the Mori clan. And for instance, in my Mori campaign, I had at the most, as I've stated, I don't remember, 70,000 or 60,000 at the most, and 8,000 per turn. And when my wheels of war started turning, I made a lot of armies. And at the end of, at my lowest of those 8,000, I had 1,000 per turn. Now, my problem was trade. Trade nodes was the only reason why I kept afloat with the economy. And I think that people, basically, I think that the main thing is, which is good, is that you have to protect your income, basically, really much more than you have to do in other games. Like when they cut off your trade route, like pirate or enemy faction, I think that has a whole lot more to do now, a lot more effect now than last time.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think that naval trade trade routes from the sea shouldn't be the main thing, because I noticed land trade has been really cut off.
Yes,
basically,
you only make about... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not making a sufficient amount from land trade, really. It's just... It was really bad, I think. They should really up that.
Yeah, I think trade from farms and like income from farms and such should actually be more than what they are, because you're still feeding peasants. You're not going to feed peasants silk, right?
It's not about that. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that is something I didn't like. It's that like you're just going to import one regent, for example, incense or whatever, which is used in Buddhist rituals or something. I read about that. I was like, what? You have a connection with another part of the world and you are just going to import herbs which burn and make a nice little, fog or something. That's stupid. And just war, what the hell? You connect with North Korea. It was North Korea who imports,
South Korea that imports cotton, I believe.
Cotton, yeah, cotton. Oh, just cotton. Whoa. Like, why? It should be a lot, a whole lot more. To be honest, it's too few trade nodes.
Well, yeah. There's one thing I figured out, with, I believe it was gold mining with Hojo Clan. I had, just a regular gold mine and I wanted to upgrade to a gold mine complex. The difference between was about 1,000 wealth. That's what it said. When I upgraded it, it only gave me about, I guess an extra 200 per turn.
Yeah, so, but that's basically because it gets absorbed, you know. No, it said on, it gives you, yeah, you have to remember that's the whole complex. When it says that this, if you upgrade this item, it will increase the, by 750, which is the, like one of the farms. I remember that. But that is the whole, you have to remember, you have to just subtract what you're already making from that farm and just add.
Yeah, I know. I should be making at least 1,000 more. It was 1,000 difference from what I was making.
Okay, but you only, made 200.
Mm. Yes, I find that the way that they did the actual income with the provinces was a little bit downplayed. The provinces aren't as important to make money as it is to have a trade node.
Well, you make a whole hell of a lot of money from gold mines. Imava. I can't remember province. I was like half my income for a while. Also, it was a lot of money coming out from that place. And that was just because of the gold mine. So securing things like that is really, yeah. But the problem I feel that for many clans, which is really far away from stuff like that, I think it's hard. The economy is going to be a big problem, which you should actually then not concentrate on war, but on building up.
Well, yeah, also, building fortresses, castles and stuff, you want to keep that limited, because I'll tell you what, when you build these castles, they start limiting your region pretty badly on, food shortages and all that. It's not good.
I'm gonna give you a, like, pro tip. Always upgrade your farm. Start that early and get that, she. I don't know what you call it. Is she or one of the arts? We have to...
She is the, Bushido art. It's the last of the Bushido arts.
No. I can't remember what it's called. Christ, it's a puzzle. You just upgrade, like, all the way to the right. You have to go, like, first it's, like, the first set of farms, and then it's the second. Do those both, and each time you capture a province, this is really, really important. Each time I capture a province, I upgrade the farm system. Every time. Because then, at the end, I had 14 food in plus. And that's, like, that's a huge difference, because that makes people more happy. Mm-hmm. And also, like, things like Daimyo Honor, really important. It gives you, like, 2 sets, and that's important. Yeah, we've been talking for 50 minutes now. Do you want to cut it now, guys, or sure. You have anything more to add?
I think that's it.
Yeah, okay, that was the Tactical Terror for today, and we're going to move on. Yes, we're back, and this time we're going to talk about, yeah, you maybe guessed it, it's Darth Mod. Yes, Darth Mod has come out for Shogun 2, which is really amazing. For those who don't know what Darth Mod is, it's a really huge mod for Empire, which revamps and fixes a lot of problems which was with the Empire. Yes, basically the changelog, what it does is that... The biggest changes is that he changes the campaign AI, the battle AI. He also changed the troop movement speed, and he made minor changes to, well, much less than, of course, the Darth mod for Empire, but still some changes. So... I have not played it, and neither has Stradar, but Mithras, you have played it, and I want you to give us a little, your first opinions. First opinions, yeah.
I really liked the version 1.0, just because it was a huge difference from what the actual Shogun Vanilla was, but it was a little bit easier. He basically revamped trade. Trade was more lucrative, and also tax rate was also increased. So it was pretty easy because once you got to about 6 provinces, you were making about 20,000 a year. But
yeah, okay. To be honest, I think that he shouldn't have changed that.
No, that's what people have been complaining about in this thread. So finally, he actually toned that down. He turned everything down and.
Yeah, because I felt that what he wants, he's a hardcore Total War gamer. So what I feel that what he's trying to achieve is to make the game harder for people who have played the game for the Empire, to try to up the ante. And I think that, to be honest, I read his opinions on the game, like the likes and not likes, dislikes. Yeah, and to be honest, we are in a different planet. Okay, he's on the he can be on the moon since he's Darth Vader and all. But I can, I'm on Earth and he's on the moon. And
the Death Star.
Yeah, he's on Death Star and I'm on Earth or Tatooine or something. Shit, that's gonna be like, oh, you're gonna blow me up or something. Yeah, no, Star Wars. We're not gonna do that here. yeah, we have different opinions basically because I love the new speed. Because I felt that at least on Sieges, many other games, it was really a grind. Like, God, this game, I know I'm gonna win if I play it, and I'm gonna lose if I don't. Mm-hmm. If you auto-resolve. And I thought that, fuck, I have to do this. And it lasts for 1 hour, which is like a grind where we use different taxes. Now it's much more faster. Mm-hmm. And I think that also in normal games, I think it's really, he mentions both things. For example, Realm Divide and faster movement speed is like a cheat way of trying to make the AI seem smarter. But I think that the faster game speed is actually quite good. And I like the realistic way. I think basically in my own head that the realistic way of fighting a war, if two units of samurai clash together, is that it's going to be quickly over. Yeah, I understand shield wall or a spear wall is going to take a little bit longer because that's like, yeah, it's a little bit more. But when two units of the samurai in heat, like go crazy on each other, it's, yeah.
In heat.
Okay, that was wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, but you get back a drift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
he
also made changes with clans like Oda, how they always died in the first turn. He gave them a little bit more units and kind of tweaked them so that they make a little bit more income than the smaller clans so that they could at least survive for the extra little bit.
Will they... by the way, how does that work, basically? Do they have more income throughout the game?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Throughout the whole game, okay. I think
all the major clans.
All the major clans, okay. I thought
so
about...
even like Mori clan and Shimazu clan, so that they don't get eliminated so easily. A lot of people were complaining, saying, "Well,
the Mori clan, the Mori don't get taken."
Well,
over.
In all my campaigns, they've never stayed.
Lies. I don't believe you.
Anyway, he also changed that decreased troop walking speed and the tiredness that the troops will get, so he's actually fine-tuned it finally now, version 1.2. Kind of, it's a little bit more like the vanilla experience, except a little bit slower paced, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
In the battles, but faster paced on the campaign map.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that, speed and melee reactions improved. More tense action around as a result. So,
yeah, a lot of people were complaining that it was getting too slow, and that was one of my complaints, that I had a unit hiding in a forest moving, and they seemed like they were crawling on their hands and knees, and I was like, okay, this isn't really what I wanted. So
that's realistic, by the way. I think that's when they're hiding in a forest, it should be a little bit slower than what it is, because
even when they were just regularly walking, they were walking really slowly.
Yeah, I just mean overall in vanilla, I think that's something I didn't like, because if 1,000 people move through a forest, they do not disappear because it's so much movement.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something I didn't like that. But whatever, that's nothing. Yeah, so you guys excited to see more of Darth Mod? Buffy?
Yeah, I think I would enjoy some Darth Maul. I think getting about training out. I do want to say one thing is that I will disagree on one thing. I think kill rate should be fixed, toned down just a little bit. Not too much, but toned down just a tad wee bit.
Yeah, because it's too fast paced, basically. Your units get killed too quickly. Yeah, maybe. I like that, but that's just me. I like fast things. So.
He also nerfed archers in matchlocks a lot, which I didn't agree. People were saying archers are too overpowered, but what you gotta think, these are longbows that they're shooting at you. Longbows are a lot more powerful than European short bows and whatnot, and they also don't have shields, so archers are really game-winning in this period of time. Also, in the mod, he also added basically larger units. He doubled the sizes of all the units, so you're going to get bigger battles.
Yeah, I don't think that the... I think as that just the ammo count, at least for... Not for sieges, because that then they have stocked up on...
Right.
But I never understood why Creator Assembly have never done that, have, like in a garrison, that the bows have more ammo. I do not know if this is true or not. I have not checked, but I think this is weird if it's not in the game. But yeah, whatever, we were trailing off. That's it for Mod Corner, and...
Oh, we have one more left.
Oh, we have?
We have the single player basically having
have your own clan.
Yeah.
The proposal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm gonna give introduction to this. Sorry, everyone. It's good that I have. Last time I said it was good to have notes, and I still mean that. Actually, I think that we skipped. Actually, this should be the first one, but whatever. Let's just do it now.
The show must go on.
This is a proposal by Coetzee, thinks that the way that you to have your own clan and customize it, by the way, so have your own like, for example, mono, what do you call it again,
man,
and of course your own colors and your own customized general inside the single player. And but to say that would be freaking awesome. Yeah, that's something I really want in it, and
that's something I would really want too.
Yeah, but I think that should be unlockable. So you can't get that unless you beat the world, like the world domination or something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of ways some of that won't work into a single player game. But I think a lot of like customizing armor colors and stuff like that, and maybe customizing mon and stuff. But switching out armor sets or something like that, I don't think will work too much. But I think
thinking just about a general, that all the generals for that clan looks like the one you made.
Yeah, the colors of
it. The big stupid hat or something. By the way, I always do that with my. I already done that with my general. Make a big stupid hat. That's like the sight of power when you see him. That's like, ooh, he has a big hat. Scary.
You see him a kilometer away, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we are hitting the 10 minutes scene, so we're gonna cut this off, and we're gonna be back with another segment. So yeah, and we're back now. This is gonna be the last segment before we cut off the show. Thanks to everyone who's still listening. It was a really long one this time because we had, yeah, two times the many people, or two more people. This segment is called Quick Fix, and basically we just made it on the go because Strader and Mithras just introduced me to a problem with co-op campaign, which they have found a solution to. Basically, the problem is that the co-op campaign gets desynchronized, and that means that if your partner gets attacked, it doesn't show. So that's a huge problem. So now, Mithras and Strader, do you want to explain how this is also going to be linked in the forum and in the forum thread? So you're probably going to see it. Yeah, so you want to take it from here?
Sure thing.
Sure.
Who of you?
first thing I want to add is that if you're having problems with your co-op, this will be an easy fix and it should help. You might have to repeat it a few times because every now and then it still happens, so... Go ahead, Mithras.
Yeah, basically just upload it to Mega Upload. The actual save file, if I can remember where it is in your user file, I believe. So you go to your users, app data, roaming, the creative assembly, Shogun 2, saves, gains, multiplayer, and usually you should just upload the autosave. If you have another save that you wanted to go back to, then there's also a list of the turn numbers on the far right side, right before the .save_multiplayer. So you can just basically link to that on Mega Upload, upload it, send the link to your friend, and then play again.
Yeah, make sure the host does that, not the player that's just joining. Yes.
So the original host has to host again.
Yeah.
That's important. Okay, good. Well, and that fixes the problem. Totally. So it's a good solution to the problem.
Yeah, that's what I said before. Basically, it will fix it for, well, for me in Mithras, it's only worked for like five or so turns, and then it messes up again. But, you know, you just got to repeat the process. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
What I've heard is that the problem is due to how far away you are from your friend. So probably someone in Canada with me wouldn't have as many desyncs as I would with Strader, because he's in Florida. So it's quite a bit.
Yeah, so and for me from Norway, that's going to be a problem eventually.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've heard of other people not having this problem, but they're like in the same town or something like that.
Yeah, what's the point of co-op campaign if you can't like play with someone from Australia or
exactly it's all yeah. about
or yeah. Madagascar or wherever some people
or
may,
Japan
or yeah not at the moment but hopefully yeah I don't know let's not delve into that yet until they like recovered after their catastrophe.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I haven't talked about that. That was really stupid of me. Like the first one, I didn't talk about that. That was really low class of me. You guys have been. Yeah, you have heard about the Japanese like catastrophe, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes,
that was.
Yes.
Yeah, I started wondering. Well, oh, have you been?
My girlfriend is Japanese, so it's kind of a given, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, horrible, and my thoughts are to the Japanese people, and I hope they pull through this. But luckily, I think that the Japanese is honorable and hard-working people, so I think that they're
They're resilient.
Yeah,
they're resilient.
Hard as nails, so I think that they're going to be okay. I think we're going to end it now. It's been great to have you on the show. I hope that you will return.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
It was an honor. And I hope all of you has listened so far, liked the show. And please leave your feedback in the official forum thread. And yes, and thank you, and good night.